Hour number two, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning. Taking your thoughts on our phone and text lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will join us at 8 o'clock. We will get into opening day of the NFL season with him, and we will get his thoughts on the Titans matchup against the Denver Broncos as well. Looking forward to that coming up at 8 o'clock. Joe, a very exciting and good week one in college football on paper. A lot of matchups that really caught our eye heading into it. Week two sucks. Not very good in the world of college football. I'm looking forward to Oklahoma and Michigan, and frankly, that's about it when it comes to the big top 25 matchups. Like, go look around the top 25 this weekend. It ain't very good in college football. Although, I guess I'm a little bit more interested in Oklahoma State and Oregon now that the coaches are sniping back and forth at each other. So, we'll see what happens
Fair.
on that front. A sneaky big game in college football this weekend, Joe, is Vanderbilt and Virginia Tech. And I think it's big from a couple of different standpoints. Number one, Joe, I look at Vanderbilt's schedule. I think this is a game that if they're going to have the type of season that they want to have, this is one you got to get. Like, you got to go up to Virginia Tech and get a win. I mean, they got South Carolina next week on the road. We know that that's going to be a tough task. You know, we've gone through their schedule. It's a really tough schedule that Vanderbilt has. So, to me, this is a big game for Vanderbilt in terms of telling the story of the type of year that they're going to have. So that's the first part of it. And number two, Joe, on the Virginia Tech side of things, you've already started out 0-1 in a loss to South Carolina in a game where I actually thought they played okay, and then it got away from them at the end. You don't want to start 0-2 and lose to Vanderbilt for the second year in a row. So number one, I think it's going to be a really good game. I do. Like, I think it's going to be an awesome game this weekend. And I think it's a massive game for both Vanderbilt and Virginia Tech in terms of trying to dictate the rest of their season and the way that it's going to go. So, what do you make of this matchup between Vanderbilt and Virginia Tech coming up on Saturday?
Yeah, well, to your point about the week two, obviously a huge drop off from week one. What I really hate is if there are in a week like that when games that I'm most interested in are at the exact same time, which is Michigan, Oklahoma, and Vanderbilt, Virginia Tech, really sucks. There are a couple, South Florida, Florida. Keep a little eye on that one. That could be an interesting one. There's a few that could be interesting. We'll have some surprise. I'm actually interested in UNC at Charlotte, by the way. Up, it'll
Well,
be there.
who's Iowa State got this week? I mean, their schedule's real hard. Let me go find it.
Well,
They
it
got
is the
Iowa.
Cy-Hawk. It
Oh,
is
yes.
the Cy-Hawk Trophy, baby.
There you
So
go.
don't sleep on that one. But yeah, it's a huge game. I mean, Virginia Tech. I mean, I'm sure I told this story last year, but my brother, Virginia Tech grad, and he brought the family here for that game, and he was so angry after the first half of watching Diego Pavia run all over his Hokies that he left the stadium, left everybody else in the stadium, and just sat in his truck angry for the second half of the game. So,
Which, by the way, ended up being a great second half.
well, I know
Ugh.
that's the thing. It's like, dude, the game got good, but yeah, so but that's about how, like, first of all, Virginia Tech fans, it's been a tough go, man. We talk about the Metallica entrance. Metallica entrance is amazing. I've only experienced it once since they've been doing that, but it's awesome. That's that proud program, incredible success under Frank Beamer. Things have gotten tough. This is one of the programs that has not flourished in the NIL era, but also I think just coaching hires have not been good. But still, like, shocked last year, that they would lose a game to Vanderbilt. Vanderbilt has a different perception now. Think about that team's approach to this game, not only being at home, but remembering that they lost to Vanderbilt last year, and now hearing about Diego Pavia. Diego Pavia is a more known name in college football than anybody on Virginia Tech's team. So the psychological side of this game is very different. It would be really bad for Brent Pry and Virginia Tech to lose this game. And like you said, I thought I mean, they're better than I thought they would be against South Carolina. They have a legit D line. They got some talent on defense. And, Denzel Drones is, I mean, it's very feast or famine with him. He'll make unbelievable throws, run around and infuriate you, and then just miss the gimmies. It's like I'm watching Archie the other day, like, dude, like, just pop it in there. It's 5 yards in front of you. But I think it should be a really good football game.
Well, it's a one. Virginia Tech is a 1.5 point favorite. So that kind of tells you they're at home, a 1.5 point favorite. I think it's going to be an awesome game. I really do. And again, like if Vanderbilt can get that win, then you've got South Carolina next week, which is going to be a tough task. And I said this to begin the season, Joe. Like for whatever reason, Vanderbilt and South Carolina for them has just not gone well. Like it didn't go well last year. They weren't really all that competitive in that game, and they have really struggled, especially over recent years at South Carolina. Like it's been bad when they've gone down to South Carolina. But if you can get this Virginia Tech game after South Carolina, you've got Georgia State, Utah State, and I know they lost to Georgia State last year, Joe. I know they did. I don't think they're going to do that 2 years in a row. Like I don't think Georgia State is going to roll into Nashville and get a win. So like you could be like if you win this Virginia Tech game, in all likelihood, you're probably 4-1 at worst heading into Alabama. Maybe 5-0, who knows? Maybe they sneak up and get South Carolina. But the likelihood is if you can get this Virginia Tech game, you're 4-1 heading into that Bama game. And I just think that's a big deal. Like I think this is a game if you're Vanderbilt and you're trying to get back to a bowl game and you're trying to improve on what you did last year, like this is a game you got to get on Saturday.
No doubt. And you think about the psychological difference for Vanderbilt and its fans Saturday. You win this one, you're 2-0. You can really start thinking about some possibilities, Again, you're going right to South Carolina, but like you can start to, really see like this could be a special year. You lose this game, and it's no shame. I mean, Virginia Tech is a solid football team in their building, but you lose this game, and I think it goes right quickly to, okay, how do we get to 6-6? You know what I mean? I mean, like, it really is like that. Whereas, like you said, I mean, you win this game, and it's like, why the heck can't we be 5-0? If you're a Vanderbilt fan or a Vanderbilt player. Now, if you're a Vanderbilt player, you one day at a time, next opponent, et cetera. But yeah, I think there's such a huge, there's such an early big swing game for like what the just the season outlook.
Well, again, like, Vanderbilt obviously looked great over the weekend against Charleston Southern. I really don't know what to take away from that. Like I watched a lot of it. Charleston Southern is absolutely awful. So like I don't know what to make of it. I think we're gonna find out a lot. Like, I heard Jake Lyman talking about this the other day, and I think it's an interesting point to monitor. Like the deep ball, right, with Diego Pavia looked pretty good in the Charleston Southern game. Like if that's a consistent part of his game this year, where he's made some strides with the deep ball, like that's a big deal for this offense. Not that he didn't hit any of those last year. Like I could think of one in the Alabama game
Oh yeah.
that they hit.
Fourth
There was a
down.
huge play in that game. So it's not like he's just been incapable of hitting the deep ball. But I think, the big thing about Vanderbilt's offense last year, Joe, was number one, it was so unpredictable and you didn't know what they were going to do. And when Pavia was presented with, those easy access throws, he was killing you with it. And then they'd sneak one in on you down the field as the game went on. If he becomes, maybe a more accurate down the field passer, that's a big development for him. And this is like, to me, this is a big Diego Pavia type game, right? Like the environment's going to be great. Virginia Tech, they're going to be fired up for this game. It's their home opener. They don't want to lose to Vanderbilt again like they did last year. And Pavia, I think for every fan base he goes against this year, is going to be kind of the guy that those people circle in on, right? Like he's going to be the guy that draws the ire of the opposing fan base and an opportunity for him to go on the road on Saturday and shut some people up. We'll see.
Yeah, no doubt. I am intrigued by what the environment will be. Yeah, not to keep bringing it back to my brother, but like I think he kind of represents the Virginia Tech fan base. I mean, he might be a little bit of extreme. Like, I'm trying to think. Actually, like, we were texting during the South Carolina game, like after like three plays, like, well, this one's over. I'm like, okay, maybe not necessarily, but they're
If like
demoralized.
if Vanderbilt gets a first down, is the entire stadium going to go to their truck and just sit there in the
Yeah.
car?
Yeah, like they are demoralized, you know? Like it's been a tough go, man. And then they have to sit there and see basically them lose on a Beamer ball play for Frank's kid, your
Yeah, how
favorite
about
coach.
that?
So
Shane Beamer, what an outstanding coaching decision. Have them re-punt the ball, and he kicks it
shut
right,
up, Ian.
and he takes
Yeah,
it 80 yards to the
just
house and
troll.
complete it and completely changes and flips the game right there. Shane Beamer, unbelievable coaching decision.
Coaching move of the
I
week.
can't
The Robbie and
see
Rex
Ian
Show
right
coaching
now.
move of the week.
I can't see Ian right now. Ian can see me, but I know that Ian's just got this big grin on his face right now. He's feeling really good about
I
what he just pulled off there.
cannot confirm or deny.
He's feeling really good about what he just pulled off right there. Big game coming up on
He's not
Saturday
wrong.
between
He really isn't
Vandy.
wrong.
We're not going to talk about that. Big game coming up on Saturday between
Just a
Virginia
hater.
Tech
Just a
and
hater.
Vanderbilt. We'll take your thoughts on the matchup for the Doors coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 the game. Today on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, the Sounds taking on Norfolk with first pitch at 11:05. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. And check out our college football game of the week. Michigan taking on Oklahoma this Saturday at 6:30 on Sports Talk 830, presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants and Circa Sportsbook Kentucky. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Vanderbilt traveling to Virginia Tech this weekend. They won last year against the Hokies, and they'll try to do it again. Taking your thoughts on that front. Jared on the YouTube chat says Vandy by double digits, Joe. Double digits for the Doors coming up on Saturday.
I tell you what, they win that game by double digits. Be very impressed. Virginia Tech is far from a talentless team. So that would be awfully impressive on the road against that team. If that's the case, I think we start mimicking Diego Pavia's natty talk the following Monday.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe so. I mean, look, as we know, schedules in college football, Joe, they evolve, right? We talked about the daunting task for the Doors this year of going into Alabama and Alabama circling them on the schedule and saying, you know what? We're not going to allow Vanderbilt to do that again. We're still a long ways away from that game. But I would say Alabama probably feels a little less daunting after what we saw on Saturday. Now things could change between now and then. And who knows? Maybe Alabama waltzes into Georgia here in a few weeks and takes down the Dogs. We'll see what happens on that front. But the schedule, you're going to Texas, you're going to Tennessee. Like, this is a game where you've absolutely, to me, gotta have it. And if you can get to, as we talked about in the last segment, 4-1 or 5-0 by the time that Bama game comes around, I think you're going to be sitting pretty, and you'd sign up for that right now if you're a Vanderbilt fan.
Oh, no question. What did Ryan Williams say? Vanny's going to be
Did he
a
say they were an
cockroach
ant?
or ant, smash the ant, something like that.
Hammer,
Yeah.
maybe a hammer.
Hammer to the ant. Yeah. I mean,
What was Florida State? A tiger?
good God. They were an NFL team against Alabama. Did you ever watch that Coach 30?
Yeah.
Yeah, his Bam episode was pretty good, man. Including with the invitation to the funeral at the end was pretty good, but Alabama will be up for Vanderbilt no matter what, I assume. Like, they're going to be angry, and again, this is the problem when you beat teams and then the next year, like, all of a sudden people take you more seriously. But yeah, like, I look at that. I have told That was one of those games where I was like, eh. Yeah, they're going to lose that one handily, and they still could, but I don't know. I mean, it's funny how one week can all of a sudden make the schedule look different.
Well, and again, like, we've talked with Clark Lee about this. We've talked, about this in the offseason, like the improvements that Vanderbilt has made to their roster. And Robbie Weinstein was with us last week and talked about, like, the defensive line and how much bigger it is and the offensive line. And, they look like an SEC team at the line of scrimmage. So how big a deal is that in this game? Stowers, I think, had 86 yards on Saturday against Charleston Southern. How big of a factor is he in this Virginia Tech game? They did whatever they wanted to against Charleston Southern. This is going to be a much stiffer test for that Vanderbilt offense, who, again, I'm excited to watch that offense this year and how good they can be with Pavia and Stowers and all the guys they got out there. I mean, Martell Hite is out there now. So, a lot of the guys that they've got out there, I think this offense has a chance to be really good. I mean, I agree with you. Watching Virginia Tech last week, they were better defensively than I thought they would be, than I thought they were going to be. And I think for a large part of that game, they did a pretty good job on Lenore Sellers. So, how does Vanderbilt learn from that, and can they take advantage of, some plays down the field this week against Virginia Tech? That's what I'm most interested to see.
Yeah, and that offense, for as fun as it was last year, some incredible performances overall. There were a lot of things left to be desired statistically with that offense, and I think the defense, like the third down defense, that's what I just have no idea about. Is their defense? I mean, they have some good returning players, but are they as potent up front as some thought they might be coming into this season? I mean, I think that's a, we have Robbie Weinstein on, and that's what he talked about, is both lines. And that's where, I mean, that to me is where it's worth where often the SEC separates itself from other leagues. And also that's where I think Vanderbilt has been separated in a bad way from most of the SEC. So really interested to see, if, because remember last year they snuck up on Virginia Tech, that took the big lead on them. And Virginia Tech roared back in that game and had a great chance to win it, right? I mean, it was a wild game. But no sneaking up this time. I think we're gonna learn a ton about a lot of aspects of Vanderbilt's team Saturday night.
Joe, on the Tennessee front, they've got ETSU coming up this weekend. The most interesting part of this game to me, and you tell me if I'm crazy, who's playing quarterback second for Tennessee in this game? Is it going to be Merklinger or is it going to be George McIntyre? That is what I'm most interested about in Tennessee and ETSU coming up on Saturday.
Yeah, we talked about this off air with the idea of, if you're Tennessee and you believe that it's just kind of a matter of time, and considering that Aguilar came in and just took it that easily from Merklinger, which I didn't expect, I don't know that that speaks great of Merklinger's ability to hang in with a developing, strengthening McIntyre and then Faizon Brandon coming in, right? So if you think of it that way, does it make sense for Tennessee to just start thinking about life with keeping George, and having given him those opportunities, and just almost resigning yourself to Merklinger? But at the same time, if you think there's a big gap between them right now, I think you have to go with Merklinger, right? Like, 'cause you may need him right soon, any point. So if he's like way beyond the freshman, I think you have to do that. There's probably some level of, we should reward Merklinger because he's been here longer, but I could see the case for the other way around.
Yeah, I'm interested to see if he gets it, and if it is, and look, no disrespect to ETSU. I have no idea how ETSU is going to stop Tennessee running the ball in this game if they want to. So, like, Tennessee is probably going to, like, Joey Aguilar will likely be out of the game by the time the third quarter rolls around in this one. So we'll see what that looks like. And then do they play both of them? Like, is it just Merklinger show the rest of the way? If he is the second quarterback, does McIntyre get in at any point? Because I told you off air the other day, like, the quarterback competition for Tennessee next year is going to be McIntyre and Faizon Brandon. Like, maybe they'll go out in the portal and bring in some older guy, but I doubt it. Like, it's probably going to be McIntyre and Faizon Brandon in competition next year, and Merklinger is going to be somewhere else. Like, he's going to transfer. So Tennessee knows that. Like, I think Heupel knows that. So how does that affect your decision making on Saturday? I would say it probably shouldn't. Like, if Merklinger is ahead of McIntyre, then go ahead and play him. But I am interested to see if McIntyre rolls out there on Saturday, particularly, like, if he's number two. I think people are going to be like, oh, how about that? And McIntyre is the number two QB.
Yeah, no doubt. No, I mean, and there's also just the, I mean, with all the hype around Brandon, what you don't want if you're Tennessee is you don't want him and then have to go out and get like on like you said, a veteran, an Aguilar or something like that, to try to cobble together some kind of QB room. Like, you really need McIntyre to believe he has a chance next year. And again, he might. He may be flat out better than him. And I mean, we're talking about Brandon coming as a true freshman. It might not even be close. But when you have a guy like that that's so hyped,
yeah.
I mean, obviously, look, every team gets a QB commitment every year, and then there's transfers out of it. But you know, you also, if you're the McIntyre camp, you have to be thinking about that too.
Keith on the text line says Merck Slinger, Furious George, and Joey Bag of Touchdowns. My guys. Not pretty good nice. Nicknames for the Tennessee quarterback trio. I like it. I mean, I'm kind of disappointed solid. That
I bet
Merklinger,
you that QB room, unlike most rooms, they support each other.
Merklinger's got some potential here, Joe. Like if he goes somewhere else and ends up being a good player, I mean, Merck Slinger is pretty good. Like, I like Merck Slinger.
It is.
Yeah.
Right, like he needs to be good somewhere. Like, he needs to go to UNLV and throw for like 4,000 yards.
Yeah, exactly. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Pretty wild story coming out of the NBA yesterday as it relates to the Clippers and maybe some circumvention of the salary cap. We'll get into that. How common do we think this could be in professional sports? All that coming up. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Thursday morning. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us here in about 30 minutes. We will get into the beginning of the NFL season, get his thoughts on the matchup between the Titans and the Broncos as well. So looking forward to that. Joe, a pretty wild story in the NBA over the weekend, or not over the weekend, yesterday. Pablo Torre coming out with a story on the Clippers that, as my two-year-old is in here talking to me right now, can we go get mama, please? Thank you.
Yes, I love reality radio. Yes,
reality radio. Appreciate it. So Pablo Torre came out with a report that Kawhi Leonard basically was given a no-show job endorsement from this company called Aspiration, and $28 million endorsement deal that was basically funded by Clippers owner Steve Ballmer. And Torre put it out there that the owner basically tried to circumvent the NBA salary cap with this. So it's an endorsement deal for Kawhi Leonard. It doesn't count against the Clippers cap, but it was basically him just being handed money by the Clippers owner Steve Ballmer. Now, the Clippers have come out with a very lengthy statement refuting this, Joe. And I'm not going to sit here and read the whole thing, but basically it's like the notion that Steve Ballmer invested in this company, Aspiration, to funnel money to Kawhi Leonard is absurd. And they went through this whole thing about market manipulation and how Steve Ballmer got defrauded in this whole thing and how he wouldn't do that. And the company got pled guilty to $243 million worth of fraud, and how this whole thing is just not true, and how seriously the Clippers take NBA compliance. So you've got the Clippers side of the things, and you've got the Pablo Torre report on how basically Kawhi Leonard was just handed $28 million to not do anything and circumvent the NBA salary cap. So what do you make of all this?
First of all, I just love how it is. This is like old school, like low grade college cheating, you know, like all it's like, all the, summer job, you know, just show up and whatever. And, you know, get a few bucks, get a car or something like that for the summer. Like, this is like, so like a no show job, you know. I think of like 1980s college football. This is, first of all, Pablo Torre guy's pretty good, man. Guy's pretty good. He keeps finding these bombshells out there. And like he said, as soon as this denial, they got the denial, he immediately said, you know, we've got this document, plus we have seven different sources that are telling us this. So now I saw Mark Cuban refuting this too, basically just saying, like, if this were the case, like how does Ballmer let that company? Because as soon as you get to, like, bankruptcy and stuff, that's when all these things become – you know, discoverable and everything, right? Like, it's like, it doesn't make sense that he would be like it part of the scheme, which, right. I think is an interesting point by Cuban. I mean, I'm keeping an open mind on it, But man, I always have wondered about things like this in pro sports. Again, we said it yesterday, I'll say it again, but like, you know, Robert Kraft bought Tom Brady some incredibly valuable emerald or something to keep, you know, because Brady for a few years was, you know, taking less than market value and all that stuff. I mean, it's like, you know, how often does it, especially with owners, you know, because these owners are different levels. I mean, even the NFL, you got like super, super, super duper billionaires. And then you got like, I mean, shoot, the Bengals owner isn't even a billionaire. What a loser, 900 million. Psh.
Yeah.
You know, but so it depends. But like when you have like the super, super rich owner, and it's like you can just light money on fire if you want. And it's like, why not? You know, we'll have a little extra here or there to, you know, circumvent the cap. I'd love to know how often it happens. But like, also, we're not used to actually hearing about it. And it, I mean, that's pretty serious, man.
Yeah.
Like that's like, I mean, could we be looking at another Clippers owner forced out by the league?
Well, I was going to say, like, if it comes out and they investigate this and they find that it's true, what's the punishment here? Like, to me, it's got to be pretty darn. Like, if you're the NBA and you find out that this actually happened, you got to crack the hammer on the Clippers and on Steve Ballmer. And I don't know exactly how you do it because I don't know if there's really been anything quite like this before.
No real
But
precedent.
you would have to think that there, whatever the punishment is, it's got to be like super severe for something like this. By the way, great return on investment if this is the way it's gone down too with Kawhi Leonard and the Clippers.
Yeah, exactly, right? Yeah, no, I mean, I think along with his status, which frankly would be kind of unfortunate because I think he's hilarious when he sits behind the bench like just some drunken dude screaming at everybody, you know? I mean, he's entertaining as an owner, but yeah, I think along with that, major financial and possibly draft penalties too
Yeah.
for the Clippers. I mean, I think, you know, this is one of those things that, I mean, again, this like when you get to integrity of a league on whatever front it may be, this is one of those, which is your salary cap, and I would expect it to be. If they find out that it's true, a really, really big deal. This, you know, this guy, it, actually, there was an investigation, even in t to Kawhi's agent when he left the Raptors
Yeah.
about him asking for, or like, apparently, I'm trying to find it right now, but basically, like, yeah, basically, like asking for stuff beyond, the normal stuff. So I mean, like there were whispers about that. I mean, I totally missed that. You know, it's one of those things. It's like, okay, whatever. But it's not like this is totally out of the blue. Like there was some kind of rumblings about this when he came to the Clippers.
Well, Steve Ballmer's worth $153 billion.
That's pretty
He's
good.
$153 billion, according to The Athletic here, according to Forbes. So, I mean, he's got all kinds of money. $28 million under the table is like not really not that big a deal to him. But again, look, I don't know if there's any way to prove this and what exactly Pablo Torre's got here. But I mean, first off, Pablo Torre having a nice year. I mean, he did all the Belichick, Jordan Hudson stuff, and now he's got this with Ballmer. So good stuff from Pablo Torre on that front. But again, like if I'm the NBA, I am investigating this very heavily. And to your point, Joe, like how common is this in pro sports? Like how often have owners like under the table given somebody something that we just have no idea about? That's caused them to either take a deal on a contract or to show up and play for that organization in the first place.
Yeah, I mean, I'm gonna guess it's not a never situation, you know. But I mean, I wouldn't think it'd be that widespread. But I mean, I don't know. You know, there's always money flowing underground. Alex says the Ballmer thing could be legitimate fraud. Talking legal system consequences. Yeah, I mean, this could go beyond just the league penalties. Lots of people enjoying the NFL cap is fake. Good stuff. Good stuff. I like
Yes.
that. Shout out to Stilly.
NFL cap. It is malleable, as we have pointed out. Yeah.
Yeah, it is.
And again, you know, talk about
Cap, cap, cap,
first
cap.
off, you're a Clippers fan. God bless you. I mean, what a nice existence that's been out there. But like the I remember when they got Kawhi Leonard and like how excited they were and how excited Steve Ballmer was in addition to it. And it's just like it has been so bad. And the return on investment has been basically zero because the guy can't get on the court. I mean, the guy's been hurt basically the whole time he's been in a Clippers uniform.
Yeah, I mean, it's not this was not his only no-show job, unfortunately
Nice.
for Clippers fans. Yeah, I mean, and when I got Paul George, I mean, I feel like every year someone tells me the Clippers are actually going to win it all this year, and then it's just a complete massive disappointment. So now you have this, you know, it's like, you know, if you're a Michigan fan, you have a national championship and all the cheating. It's like, well, you know what? Say whatever you want. You're not taking away that national championship, but there's nothing. There's nothing to show. And sometimes you do wonder, like, the idea of like a cursed franchise, pro sports organization, you know, seems kind of silly. But if there was one, this might be the one.
It might be. It very well might be. I mean, Ballmer, first off, you're right. Like, watching him is very entertaining, and he's a kind of a psycho, but it's fun to watch out there. But if they found out that this is true, oh, look, I have no idea about like legally the troubles that he could be in there. I'm not smart enough to know all that stuff. But the NBA, like, I don't know, do you force him out as an owner? Can they do that? Would they have cause to do that with this? I mean, I would love to know how far this could actually go.
Well, I mean, the other owner, I mean, that's they have a say in that. And I can't imagine any other. Like, again, you got Mark Cuban here basically saying, I just don't buy this. But if he finds out, if they can nail this down, I can't see another owner wanting anything but for him to be made an example of, right? I mean, I think you have to. You know, I really do. Again, the integrity of the league. So, yeah, like, I think it would be, pretty severe on that front too.
Are you
Very
wanting the
interested
NFL?
to
You want the
what's
NFL to
that?
look into whether or not Robert Kraft brought Brady an island?
I mean, I'm sure at this point, like he's passed it on to like a few different people, and you know,
Okay.
they've I mean, Robert Kraft, not necessarily when he gets massages, but for the most part, seems like a guy who covers his tracks pretty well.
God.
Sorry.
Thanks.
Yep.
Appreciate
Chapel
that.
Bill.
What were you gonna say?
What?
You were in the middle of saying something. I interrupted you about Robert Kraft. I wanted to know what you were going to say. I don't know if you're reading the text or what you're doing or if you've forgotten.
When I said that Robert Kraft does a good job of
No,
covering his
before
tracks,
that,
it's,
you were about to
oh,
make a point and I interrupted you.
I don't know, man.
Okay.
I don't know. My brain is very, very not working today.
Josh from Dixon says, cursed. The Cleveland Browns have entered the chat. They certainly would qualify. They would be on the
Yep.
short list.
Yep, they're right in there too, no doubt. And let's not forget those Motor City Kitties.
They would be on the list as well.
Yep, I think so.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We have the Rob Rant coming up next. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us at 8 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 the game.
Don't make me angry.
Sometimes you have to tell someone to pound sand.
You wouldn't like me when I'm angry.
This is the Rob Rant.
Now!
Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
Well, ain't nobody running the ball on us this year. It's like, shut up!
You can't give alley-oops.
He looks like a Sherpa on the sidelines taking people up a mountain.
Pitch and catch.
Hey, can we go get Mama, please?
50 Omaha, set hot.
It drove me nuts.
The untouchable Pekka.
Oh, it is that time of the day. Time for the Rob Rant here on the program. Some quick work by Ian Spahr to add my message to the two-year-old from the last segment in the mashup. That's good stuff.
Nimble.
Very nimble. Very nimble.
Well done.
All right, so Joe, you know, you've heard me say this before. I've long been a proponent of if you're a league like the NHL or the NBA, to move your season away from football season and go head to head against the NFL and college football as less often as you possibly can. Like if you're going head to head against them in October and November, move it back, go head to head against the NFL less often, and maybe more people will watch your sport as a result of that. And now what is the NHL doing? The exact opposite, Joe. Pierre LeBrun put it out there yesterday that the NHL, number one, will be moving to an 84-game season in 2026, 2027, which, whatever, like, that doesn't overly bother me. Like, you know, 82, I feel like, is long enough. But frankly, there's not much on the earth worse than preseason hockey. And if they shorten the preseason and add two regular season games, I can live with that. That's fine. But they're going to start the NHL season in late September, and they will award the Stanley Cup in mid-June. Now, a lot of people like this. Like, they're like, well, why would anybody want to be playing hockey in late June, early July? It's hot outside. Well, guess what? It's hot in mid-June, too. Look at Nashville. Like, when they had the Cup final here, it's pretty freaking hot in mid-June. So I don't really care about that part of it. But to me, like, you're just taking more of your regular season, and I know it's only by like 2 weeks. I don't care. You're taking more of your regular season that is going to be right in the middle of football season, and I think you should go the other way. I think you should push it back and have less of your season in football season so maybe more people will watch as you move forward here. So I saw this yesterday. I was disappointed by it. I don't care about the 84 games, although I will say it is weird to talk about an 84-game schedule. But again, I keep reminding myself, preseason hockey, awful. And players have told me they need like one, maybe two preseason games, and then they're ready to go. We don't need six, so let's shorten the preseason, and I'm cool with that. And if that means two more regular seasons, I don't care. But why not move it back a little bit and get yourself away from the NFL as much as you possibly can? That would be my advice to every sports league.
No, man, I'm with you. I don't like the 84. I mean, and I guess it's – you can talk about the NFL one too. It's just like I care about single-season records, you know? Means single season, and it's been 82 forever, and so I just hate arbitrarily changing that. And like, why? I mean, I've heard some conversation about less inventory. Maybe it's, I guess it's more in the NBA that they talk about this, and some of that's because the load management and all that stuff. But we're adding more. I don't like that. But I'm with you. Like, no one will occupy this dead zone of July.
I know.
And it's right there for someone to be like, you know what? How about we take center stage for that whole time period? How great would it be for all of us who whine every year about how during that month we have the freaking All-Star game and some golf?
Yeah. No, it's like, it's crazy to me. Like, my hot take in sports for a long time has been the NBA should start Christmas Day. Like, that's when they should start. Christmas Day should be their opening day. They're not going to do that, obviously, at this point. But, like, I just can't for the life of me figure out why, if you're not the NFL, like, if you're Major League Baseball, you're the NHL, you're the NBA, you're trying to get more people to watch your product. I'm not saying that it's like move away from football season and now everybody's going to start watching hockey. I realize it's more complicated than that. Like, there are some people that just don't watch hockey. Some people watched hockey for the first time in the Four Nations tournament last year and loved it. And hopefully that happens again in the Olympics this year. So some of it has nothing to do with when they're playing. I get that. But I do think you can help yourself by like not going up head-to-head against NFL games on Thursday nights or not going up head-to-head against big-time college football games on Saturday nights. Like, I think the more you can do that, the more you help your sport. And I just don't think that enters their thought process at all.
No, I agree. And look, like, I'm a fan of the NBA and NHL. So I love the time period, you know, of the spring when it's like, when you're just low chock full of playoff games for both. Right. I love that, but man, I would watch more hockey. And, you know, frankly, I'd watch more, but I'd be able to like watch more of both if like it was separated out. Like if the NBA crowned a champion like a month before the NHL did, I just think that would be brilliant by the NHL, you know?
Yeah.
So you're also getting away from competing with them on a nightly basis at your very best stuff. I mean, like has this been, because they always throw stuff out there. Has this been seriously discussed in any way?
I don't know. Like, I think for whatever reason, people in the NHL, they don't like the idea of like moving deeper into the summer. right? Like they
just
don't
get August
like
off. August is a great month too. Take that month off instead of getting ready for camp.
Yeah, like I'm with you, but for whatever reason, they don't like it. And look, I'm not smart enough to sit here. I am sure that when it gets hotter, it is more difficult to maintain the proper ice conditions. And I know the Predators over the years have put a lot of money and resources into making sure that the ice is good and humidifiers and all this other stuff that goes on with it the deeper you get into the season. So I understand that there are some logistical things that go along with that. Like if you're having the Stanley Cup final in Sunrise, Florida in mid-July and it's 108 outside, it's probably going to be pretty difficult to keep the ice pretty good when you got all the doors open in the arena and people are coming in and all these things. But I just look at it and I'm like, you know, there's some games early in the season for the Predators that are like really cool games and like good looking games to me. And I'm like, oh wait, that's on a Saturday night in October. I bet there's some pretty good college football games going on at that time. And I just think the more that you could get away from that as a league, the better off you're going to be.
Yeah. I was going to say, this reminds me too of like the MLS, which takes like a month off for the whole year apparently. Yeah. And just play. But Alex says that they're thinking about doing the same thing with their schedule, which what does that mean? I mean, they already go all the way football season well into November, yeah, right? So I don't know what – so, Alex, what does that mean? I have not seen this. What would that – are you saying they're going to go, like, through December? Just, like, play?
A continuous
never
season.
Stop playing? Yeah. It's a lot of soccer, man.
We will never –
even if you like soccer, that's a lot of soccer.
We'll award a champion, and we will begin the season the next season the next week. We will continue to go.
Can't get complacent.
I agree.
Can't get fat and sassy.
You know, the 84 game stuff, people are talking about that on the text line too. Some people don't like it. I get it. Like, I'm with you from the standpoint of like the 82 games and, you know, the records and all that. I mean, I guess you're just going to have, like, for points specifically, I guess you're just going to have to look at it as points per game at that point and what that comes down to. But, like, you know, two more games a season. Ovechkin just broke the all-time goals record. I don't know. Does two more games per season mean that, you know, Austin Matthews has got a better shot at breaking Ovechkin's record at some point, which I think is probably the only guy in the league right now that has a realistic shot of it at some point in his career? We'll see.
Yeah, I mean, that doesn't seem like a big deal, but I just don't like it. It's weird. 84 games. We've been talking about 82 forever for NBA and NHL. We've been talking about 162 forever for baseball, like forever. I mean, what, God, they switched from 154 in what, 1950 something, 1960, whatever.
Yeah.
And just like, don't stop, trample tradition if you don't need to.
Yeah, it's crazy to me. 615-737-1025. Our phone number, 615-737-1025. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports will be with us coming up next. We got a lot of things to get into with Charles. We will get into NFL opening day, the Titans and the Broncos, NFL headlines, all that coming your way next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.